Welcome to Mindful School Marketing, your go-to podcast for personal and professional growth.
We're school marketers, business owners, and moms passionate about connecting other school professionals with tools and strategies for success.
We love solving problems, exploring new ideas, and thinking outside the box. Let's transform your school and life starting right now.
This episode is brought to you by Enquiry Tracker. Easily manage all your inquiries, tours, open houses, and applications with a system designed by K-12 education, marketing, and admissions professionals. Welcome to Mindful School Marketing. I'm Tara Clays.
And I'm Aubrey Birch. Today, we're joined by Angie Ward. Angie has spent the last decade helping schools identify their enrollment marketing challenges in order to develop and execute a strategic campaign designed to achieve their goals. With a knack for digital strategy and analytics, Angie has helped over 250 colleges, universities, and K-12 schools with result-driven digital marketing solutions. When not working with schools and staying up to date with the latest Google challenges, Angie can be found spending time with her friends and family, especially her kids and chickens, and enjoying all that her wonderful home state of Massachusetts has to offer. Welcome, Angie.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thank you, Tara. I'm happy to be here.
Hi, we're so glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? That was a great intro.
Yes, thank you for that intro. Oh, well, let's see a little bit more about myself. So, you know, as a business owner, I am busy and I'm working with a lot of schools day to day. But, you know, for fun, as you mentioned, I've got kids. So we're raising three kiddos in our household. So there's never a dull moment. I am part of a book club. And I really just love spending time outdoors. So on a personal front, those are some of my hobbies. I'm fortunate we live near a mountain too. So the family and I get up on the mountain skiing and whatnot quite a bit. But otherwise, yeah, you know, I'm just really loving Enroll Media Group and working with independent schools and working with different vendors such as TLC Design and Easy School Marketing. It's been a really great space to work within, and I feel very fortunate that I've been a part of it these last few years.
I love that you live near a mountain and that you have chickens personally. So I'm a bit jealous, but I'm so glad that you're here with us on the show because we love having digital marketing experts on our show. So I'm going to dive right in if it's okay with you.
Yeah.
Can you tell us broadly about what digital marketing includes and where small independent schools should be focusing their energies these days?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, digital marketing is, you know, my passion. I've worked in marketing most of my career. And so Enroll Media Group provides me the perfect opportunity to take education, something obviously that's very meaningful to most people, but to me as well, and combine that with digital marketing to help schools reach their enrollment goals. So it's a perfect match of the things I love to do. When it comes to digital marketing specifically, what I love about it is that it's always changing. So it kind of keeps you on your toes. But there's also a lot of tried and true digital marketing strategies that we specifically help schools with. And those are things, you know, as basic as optimizing your digital properties. I mean, your website is your greatest marketing asset, as you probably know. And, you know, really helping schools to optimize that website, take advantage of the free tools that they have is really important. So whether you work for a school or any institution or organization, you want to maximize your marketing budget. And so there's tons of free tools out there that we really try to help schools with. Things like Google Analytics, Google My Business, different social media tools. So we're constantly trying to help schools find different tools out there that can help them maximize their budget, that are free, that can help them do their job easier. Because when you're running a school, you know, you're wearing so many hats. I can't tell you how many times we're talking to a school and they're on recess duty while they're trying to figure out how to post something. And so we really try to just keep it easy for schools.
Yeah, I love the free tools that Google offers. I mean, Google Search Console is one of the most amazing tools, like undiscovered tools, I think that's out there. And Google is the big elephant in the room. I mean, it's like a love-hate relationship, right, that we have with Google, because they're constantly changing things. And we kind of are really tied to Google. But I'd love to hear more about other platforms in terms of digital marketing. Specifically, we wanted to talk to you about LinkedIn today and how LinkedIn can help schools as part of their digital marketing strategy.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm with you, Tara. It is such, you know, Google really does dominate search. Obviously, it's the largest search engine in the world. They've got a ton of great tools. I feel like I could talk about Google all day long, but I love talking about these new platforms as well. So LinkedIn has grown so much in the last couple of years, part of it due to the pandemic, right? Everybody's updating their LinkedIn profiles, or they're moving jobs, or they're just networking more virtually. So LinkedIn, what I love about it is that it's really up to date. People don't tend to keep an old employer on their profile for very long. You know, they're constantly connecting with new people, updating their latest credentials, certificates, alma mater, where they're working. So when you have a platform that's very accurate, it provides you an opportunity to identify your target audience a bit more. So schools are using it organically to connect with alum, to engage their current communities, just to, you know, obviously to recruit talent and hire professionals at their school. But the shift that we're seeing schools make is, in addition to posting more organically for various needs, recruitment, retention, alum, advancement, development, but they're also seeing it as an advertising platform. So that's where, you know, Enroll Media Group really comes in. And what I find really interesting is that you can use this platform to identify different pockets of prospective families. So maybe they work in certain feeder companies for you. Maybe you offer a tuition discount to people who work in certain professions. Maybe you're really interested in breaking into a new sector. So we work with a school in Florida who actually is targeting a specific area that is building a bunch of insurance, bank, finance, financial organizations. And so they really want to get in front of professionals who work for these companies, but moving to Florida so that they can start to consider their private school ahead of their move. So it's really great when you can start to tap into these employers and the people that work there to try to find your target audience.
I love that. First of all, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. Second of all, I love the potential there. I think there is just, I don't know about you, but are you thinking there's going to be more and more of a shift to LinkedIn advertising as we move forward and as that platform becomes, I think, more popular?
You know, I wish I had a crystal ball, but if I could guess, I'm going to say yes. There is definitely, the data is pointing towards, you know, LinkedIn just continuing to grow. We have a dedicated LinkedIn agency rep that we talk to regularly, and there's a lot of growth in on the advertising side. For schools in particular, I think there's a shift happening with social media. I'm sure as you guys have seen, you know, there's some ethical concerns with traditional social media platforms that schools are facing. And so they are looking for new ways beyond just Facebook and Instagram to reach their target audience. And so I do think that LinkedIn is one of those alternative platforms that schools are looking to put some time and money into, which is great because I personally like LinkedIn as well. Personally, just as a user, I think the quality of the content that I see, just it seems to be more relevant and it seems to just resonate with me a bit more than some of the other social media platforms I've been on. And as a prospective parent, I would say that, you know, I really think there's a trust factor on LinkedIn because you know about the people behind those posts, where they work, who they're associated with. It's a little bit more of that trust factor than some of the other social media platforms out there.
That's so true. And that's what I've heard other schools speak to as they're looking at expanding to LinkedIn. So thank you for sharing that. Can we switch gears a little bit? I'd love to know, like, schools are thinking about, okay, advertising, where do we go? What do we do? On your end, where do you see the biggest challenges when schools are starting this online advertising and marketing? And how can they measure success?
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of hit on two important things. You know, what are schools doing when they're getting started is I think a lot of them, they get overwhelmed. They think, oh, we got to be on TikTok and we got to be on Google and we have to be here and we have to check this box and that box. And instead of checking the platform specific boxes, you really need to start with your goals. And with any marketing, you want to know your audience. So think about who it is you're trying to reach. And maybe LinkedIn is not the platform for you based on, you know, enrollment data and target audiences and personas. Maybe in order to find prospective families or to maybe, you know, think about it as in this way, maybe to reach your specific enrollment goals, you need to look to a different platform. So always start with your goals, always start with your target audience, and then decide what channel makes the most sense. Because Facebook advertising, TikTok advertising, LinkedIn for every school, it's not going to fit their enrollment marketing needs. I would say when it does come to enrollment in top of the funnel, not necessarily re-enrollment or retention, but when it comes to top of the funnel awareness building and engagement, I do think schools need to start with optimizing their free assets first, their website, making sure they're paying attention to SEO. That is a long-term investment. If you need more of a quick hitting campaign to really fill that funnel, Google Ads is really kind of our go-to recommendation. I mean, this is a platform, to go back to Google, this is a platform that gets in front of parents in the exact moment they are searching. And it's the number one search engine. So if you really want to get in front of families looking for Montessori schools near me, and your site isn't ranking organically yet, or your other free channels, social media properties and traditional efforts really aren't filling that funnel enough for you, I would say start with a basic Google search campaign. Otherwise, to really get started, you know, start off with your goals, identifying who your target audience is. I don't conduct market research. That's not something Enroll Media Group does, but I highly recommend some basic market research for schools. You know, you need to get a sense of the supply and demand. And, you know, and what that looks like for each school and each market is a little bit different. So that's going to help you identify your unique selling propositions, who you want to get in front of, and who's going to be the best fit family. So if you haven't done any market research or market feasibility, I do recommend schools start thinking about that before they just put a bunch of advertising dollars out there on Google or social media.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think market research is often overlooked, especially if you're kind of in a hurry and, you know, Google is sort of like a quick, you feel like it's a quick fix, but the market research will also help you tailor your messaging as well, right? To make sure that the ads that you're putting out there are saying what people are looking for. So yeah, you've got to do some homework before you go spending your money on ads or you're going to waste it.
Absolutely. And we see that a lot when a school comes to us and says, hey, we're running all these, you know, advertisements, but we don't think, you know, any of it's working, or we're not sure if anything is working, which speaks to your second question, Aubrey, about how are schools measuring success. So what can happen is, you know, there's the spray and pray method where you just put a ton of advertisements, impressions out there, and fingers crossed, it reaches and engages and converts the right families. But even if it is, some schools aren't able to prove that that's what's driving their inquiries, their open house registrations, their applications. So a big misstep we see is schools not having a measurement plan in place. And a measurement plan truly is, how are we holding ourselves accountable for our marketing efforts, and are we achieving those goals? So you need to be accountable for the goal setting and the goal tracking. And just to give a very simplistic example, it could be something like, we're going to create a digital ad campaign for our open house. Well, how are you going to measure if these campaign impressions are driving open house registrations? There's a few ways to do that. One could be a lead gen strategy on social media or Google Ads, where people simply fill out that event registration form right on that lead ad. The ad, when you click on it, expands, you fill out your information on that form, and then that platform tells you who's coming in from those ads, and then you can see if they go on to register for the event. That's one way. If you're not doing a lead gen campaign where that lead form dynamically pops up on the ad, you could set up goals in Google Analytics to make sure that you're capturing that event registration form right on your website. And you want to source your marketing with custom URLs or UTM codes to be able to determine that the people signing up for that particular open house came from the different advertisements that you've launched. So those are two very basic ways to tie an advertising campaign to a particular goal. And not doing those things are all too common in the space.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's really important, really, really important to be accountable for your money that you're spending.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I'm going to shift to talk about mindfulness a little bit, because we do talk about mindfulness on this podcast. It's part of our title, and specifically how it applies to school admissions and marketing professionals. How do you define mindfulness, and how would you apply it to your work in digital marketing? I think this is a good segue after talking about being accountable and looking at your results.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question. Well, mindfulness to me really is about, you know, being present and not just thinking about what's ahead, what's next. I have a tendency, maybe it's that entrepreneurial spirit in me, to always be thinking about what's next. And that is actually counterintuitive, I think, to mindfulness and just being present. So I constantly have to say, okay, maybe this is new and up and coming, or maybe this new partnership is down the pike for us. But instead of focusing on that, let's look at today, who my clients are today, who my coworkers, my colleagues, and really try to just be present and show up for them the best I can. And that is how I sort of apply mindfulness to my work and also personally. So instead of worrying about, you know, back to school or the next vacation that we have planned, or how is this going to go, this dance recital or this sports event, transitions, instead of always worrying or thinking or planning for those, I really just try to be present in the moment and really kind of just soak it all in. And so I think that's something everybody really tries to do. I have to really work extra hard at doing that. But I find that when I'm successful at that, I do a much better job, and I really am showing up at my best when I can do that.
I assume that then translates when you're working with your clients. So you model that for them, or do you ever feel like you have to kind of help them focus and be mindful of the, like we talked about, the campaigns that they're doing and not jumping in, as we've talked about?
Yeah, absolutely. We have to trust kind of the process. And we have to know that the leads will flow in. I mean, it is not a, if you build it, they will come type of mentality, but you know, we really do say this will work. This is a sound strategy. There's a measurement plan in place. And we look to the data constantly to help optimize our campaigns. But absolutely, you know, we have to just kind of trust some of the tried and true tactics. When a client says, oh, should we do this? Should I be on this? Should I try that? Our competitor's on there. You know, we can't always just go and do things because it seems like where we need to be. You know, I always say to our partners that, you know, it's better to be doing a few things really well than spreading yourself too thin in a ton of different areas, because that's when you're not going to give enough kind of statistical relevance to one particular effort to be able to then fine tune it and optimize. So the same can be said kind of personally. You don't want to try to be, you know, the best mom, the best business owner, the best at everything all at once, because you can't be the best at everything all the time. So you need to prioritize, and you need to trust that what you're doing is the right thing at that time.
Ooh, I resonate so much with that as a mom, an entrepreneur, and all the above things. So thank you for sharing those gems. They really are helpful. And I think schools often do need to trust the process. And sometimes it's not immediate results. You have to kind of wait and, you know, and really choose the ones that are going to serve your school, not jump on every platform.
Exactly.
So thank you for sharing. I'd like to transition us now to some questions we ask all our guests. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go for it.
Let's rock it. Okay. So what are the most important things you do to grow personally and professionally?
Well, I would say I do love to read and listen to podcasts. So I like to keep up both personally and professionally on things, whether it's a self-improvement parenting book or a self-improvement book about, you know, running a business or marketing. I'm taking a Google Analytics 4 class right now. So I try to, you know, keep up with reading and podcasts and courses to stay fresh. I also would say I like to do things that I'm bad at, or I like to do things that I don't love to do, right? I like to get uncomfortable. And an example is I used to hate presenting. I absolutely would just, you know, want to just crawl under my desk and not present. But I realized that's really critical, obviously, to when you're running a business, when you're presenting reports to clients. And so I just started doing it over and over. Every time somebody asked, would you present on that topic? I would say yes, even though I didn't want to. And then I just got better at it. So I would say my advice to people and what works for me is to kind of get uncomfortable to grow. And that's something that I try to do all of the time. And, you know, whether it's a financial task or an uncomfortable board presentation that I just have to do, I get uncomfortable to grow. And I find that that helps my confidence and helps me grow professionally.
That's great advice. Really great advice. I think, yeah, you've got to kind of break through new ground to grow, and that's uncomfortable. So thank you for that advice. That's great. Okay, I'm going to jump into some rapid fire questions. The first one is, if you could put one book as mandatory reading in the high school curriculum, what would it be?
So I knew you guys would ask this because you ask all of your guests this, and I couldn't come up with one. There's so many. So I actually had to tap into my niece. She's 15. She's the smartest high schooler I know. And I said, what's been the most helpful book for you? And she said, Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom, because, you know, it really hits on some core principles of forgiveness and love. So that was her pick for literature. And then I wanted to balance that with sort of a self-improvement type of book that I would recommend for high schoolers, my niece included. And that would be something that focuses on kind of interpersonal skills and development, kind of like a Dale Carnegie, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People type of book. And it doesn't have to be that book, but I think in such a text heavy communication world that it is beneficial for high schoolers to really try to get comfortable with those social interactions and, you know, reading a book, you know, not necessarily that book by Dale Carnegie, but reading books about confidence and building and communicating, I think could go a long way. And I those books certainly helped me when I was in high school and college.
I love it. I love that you went to the market, your niece, to find out, you know, what was an influential book for her. So thank you for bringing that and for the balance with the Dale Carnegie piece, because I think that's true. I mean, so often I'm impressed that you read that in high school and college, because I don't think anyone introduced me to any books like that, although they would have been very helpful.
Yes. Yes. I agree. I wished I had, when I read it, I want to say I was actually in my early 20s. I wished I had read it sooner. It was one of those books where I said, this would have been really helpful like 5 years ago.
So Tara started a Goodreads book list for us for mindful school marketing. So we'll put all these books on there. But meanwhile, I'm like have a whole bunch of books that I plan to force my children to read before they graduate high school. You want a diploma here? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's great.
But I feel like there's such great, you know, great stuff here. So, okay. Next question. What is one app you couldn't live without? I'm so curious to hear your answer.
I wish I had a really creative answer for you. It's probably the same answer everybody gives, but it is my calendar. I can't, the Google Calendar. I mean, I'm on it all the time for work and for personal. And of course, calendar, like blocking out times is really important for me and my teammates as well. So I think that actually speaks to the mindfulness aspect. So if I know my colleague is walking her dog, I'm not going to throw a meeting on her calendar last minute right now. Like that's her time. Likewise, you know, my husband and I have a shared calendar. The kids' calendars are on their work. So for me, I just couldn't actually get through the day to day without having that app. And I wish it was something more zen, like a yoga app or Spotify, but it's just my calendar.
Yeah. Yes. I am very linked with my calendar as well. And it is very helpful.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Back to the books. What are you reading right now?
So I'm in a book club, as I mentioned, and the book we're reading right now, I'm almost done, is called Her Perfect Life. It's actually by a local Boston reporter, Hank Philippi Ryan. And it's about a prominent news reporter who has a seemingly perfect life. But as the reader learns, there's a lot of mysteries to this reporter. So it's a pretty cool book. I'm also, you know, I'm enjoying it. That's sort of my guilty pleasure book club book. But I'm also reading kind of a self-improvement book. I usually have two going on at once, my book club fun read and then a personal one. And this one is actually called Raising Good Humans. I just started it. Oh, have you read it?
It's on my list. It's on my list. My friend just recommended it. I just put it on Audible. So we're going to be synchronistically reading this.
Yes. I'm only one chapter in, but so far I like it, and we'll have to chat about it after.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Okay. Yay. That's so great. So next question. Well, our last question for you. What is one great piece of advice you'd like to leave us with?
Let's see. This is hard. One piece of great advice I would say for listeners, for you guys, for anybody, just stay connected and reach out. And if you are feeling like you're facing a problem or an issue, instead of just Googling it, reach out to someone. What I have found is that of the people who come to me on, whether it's LinkedIn or email, wanted to run something by you, kind of a weird question, have you run into this? They're always so glad they did. And I feel the same way. I just reach out to people instead of wondering, assuming, and doing my own research. I've been really trying to build up a network, not just in the independent school space, but personally as well, where people know, just reach out. Because if you're going through this or have this question, chances are somebody else is too. And I can't tell you how often somebody will reach out, maybe a school, and say, can you help me with this? And I'll say, yeah, I just worked with a school the other day who had the same issue. They're like, oh my goodness, I wish I had reached out a month ago. I've spent so many hours on this. So reach out, you know, ask for a friend. That's my advice.
That's great advice. And actually, as we wrap up, how can people reach out to you? How can they find you online, Angie?
Oh, great. Well, I am on LinkedIn. They can also go to enrollmediagroup.com and they can find us there. And otherwise, I think, yeah, those two places would be the easiest.
Great. Thank you so much. It's really been a pleasure and I've learned a lot. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to talk with you both.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Inquiry Tracker is the all-in-one CRM solution used by over 250 schools. Easily manage all your inquiries, tours, and open houses. Key instant analytics help you manage and grow a robust pipeline. So end spreadsheets forever.
The smart online application system with powerful document upload is a game changer. No school is too small or too big, and their Fast Start program will get you up and running in no time.
Best of all, the system is designed by K-12 education, marketing, and admissions professionals. Check out Inquiry Tracker at inquirytracker.net. That's inquiry with an E, tracker.net.
Thanks for joining us on the Mindful School Marketing Podcast.
We'd love it if you pop into iTunes and leave a review. 5-star preferred. Let us know how you like the show. It helps us improve what we're doing and helps others find us too.